something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Introducing Space Masks.
I pick my all-time fantasy band.
Plus, who's the Canadian jam heiress and what's her tie to U2? That's all coming up right now on TNT. This week on Space Masks.
Hey, what's going on? I'm pretty tired, but we should probably land this thing pretty soon, hey?
The portal is stuck, and I don't have my B-57 bar.
Wait a second. What's that up there? That's that yellow one. That
it's a bright, shiny light, and I'm drawn to it, Thwark.
Oh, we're getting pulled into its vortex.
Watch we're out actually, for its rays.
We're landing into the planet. I can feel it.
Prepare for elongation.
100 feet. 50 feet. It's 25 feet.
A Newtonian reflector.
We're here.
Prepare to disembark. Look. It's binary stars.
Wow, look at the dusty sand everywhere.
That's not
What's
sand.
That? What is it?
It's Jupiter dust. It's crawling up my leg.
Oh my god!
It's going
It's crawling
to
up my
trap
leg
me.
Too! Oh! I can't move!
Quick, grab the giggle slash.
Here's my giggle slash. I'm gonna turn on the bongos.
Angar, it's too late. I can't breathe.
This rhythm should help get us free.
Rhythm is a dancer.
We're getting out. It's slowing down.
Space masks with two masks. You know nothing about space. It's a look. It's an eclipse of the Mars.
I'm free.
I'm free too.
What? Where did that sound come from? Out of this box. Look, it's like a black box. Here, play those bongos again.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
It's opening. Gargon, it's opening. Look.
What? Why is it glowing?
Oh! Did you feel that?
Anthwart, what?
My whole body inside is tingling and I can float. Look. I'm floating.
Well, it is space.
No, in control, like the kid from My Secret Identity with the cans.
I don't know that reference, I'm afraid.
Hey, look, your arms are glowing. Try and shoot that rock over there with your arm.
We need to return to the planet Gork at once.
Okay, hold on.
Let us begin the chant. Gork. 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 Gork.
Oh! We're back in the ship. Oh, we're back in the ship.
I could tell by the sound effect.
We're almost ready to get back into the next galaxy. Press the galaxy button and shoot us into the next one.
Okay. Here goes. It's reserved for emergencies.
Oh, wow! We're going fast!
Faster than the speed of light?
The speed of choking.
Uh-oh. I have to use the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Let's go into the billiard hall on the back of the thing. Let's shoot some pool.
Space pool. With the space balls?
I mean, the only thing I like as much as a game of pool is maybe some racquetball. You want to maybe hit the racquetball courts and get some... There's a racquetball court here. Let's check it out. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. Most scenarios that come up, I have at least a fleeting glossary to draw from. Sci-fi and space is really out of my realm.
Well, here's one that says sci-fi radio communication.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, it sounds like.
You know what that also sounds like? Hit it again. What the? COQK. COQK in the morning. Right? Those outer space FM radio stings.
Let's hear it again.
COQK. Guelph's only hope.
Yeah, it's this super high-tech sound, and then it's like, you're listening to The Con in Orillia.
The Con. And there's a woman with a British accent. The Con. The Con. Yeah.
It's always the alternative station that has the British guy or girl in the afternoon. I'm going to play some Cure coming up.
Have you heard, I think it's on Sirius Satellite. Downtown Julie Brown has a radio show, and she sounds Merle Haggard.
Oh, really?
It's yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah,
okay,
she is.
Okay, mates. Like heavy darts?
I don't know what it is, or like a late night clubbing for 30 years now, and she's used to yelling over music.
Screaming all the time.
What's going on, bud?
Oh, you know, just rocking around the house. I had played a little gig this week.
A gig ski?
A little gig ski at the new Axis Club. A buddy of mine. Mike Wessinger from his company Point Click Care. They're just bods from the company. He asked me to do it, and we did some rehearsals for fun, and it was great. It was good times. Well, it was basically the rock and roll CEO styles.
Love it. And they brought in a ringer.
There was a band from KPMG and another company, Shopify.
Jeez.
And the Shopify were like kind of the hipster styles. Like they had their own songs.
Like originals?
Yeah. So it was I guess a kind of like a reflection of the companies, but it was definitely, it was corporate rock, cover night. It was a gas. So it was nice to actually go play again, to be honest. So
how many people are there?
A few hundred, like maybe 500 or 400 or something like that. So it was, I was masking it up because it was the first time I've been in a room like that where you feel like, wow, everybody's here and yelling and
weird. Right. So did you play with a mask?
I was rehearsing and everything but the show had a mask. And then, but I was, I also tested every day and was negative tests constantly. Actually, my son Jack got COVID last week.
Crazy.
Went to his room and kind of isolated himself really well. Every time he came to go to the bathroom, he had a mask on. So nobody else got it. So he's tested 3 times negative now, and we've all tested negative continually throughout the house. But I mean, it's getting to the point where everybody has had it,
you know,
almost. Not like in our house, it was just Jack, but everyone else I know is like, oh yeah, I already got it, or I got it again, or whatever.
So did he have symptoms?
He'd had a tiny bit of a sniffle, and so he took a test and he was positive, so it was really quick. Well, he had been hanging out with friends and stuff, and the count's been like in the over 100,000 or whatever last week, so like so ridiculous that it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And thankfully it's more of a mild version of it, so most people that I've heard that had it hasn't been too rough. So I'm hoping that this is because there's so many people that are vaccinated, so it's just lessening, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
there's actually a flu that's going around that's worse right now in terms of like people getting it and feeling really sick for like a week.
Oh, but it's not the COVID.
Yeah, yeah. Like Anna had a cold. She tested every day of the cold, negative every time. And she had it. She was sick like 3-4 days longer than Jack.
Bananas.
So it's just, yeah, it is.
So what do you do? Anyway. Like you make meals and put it on a tray and knock on his door? And
exactly, yeah.
Was he going nuts in there, or he was all right?
No, he's cool because he usually is like, he has his computer in there, and so he's usually interacting with his friends, playing games or whatever. So he loved it. He actually was like, this is fine.
Do you have to do homework when you have the cozy?
He only missed 2 days, maybe 3 days.
That ain't bad, Jeremy.
I think he was checking in. But yeah. Good news is just no one else got it, so that's great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so anyway, the gig was a good time. I'm still a little hoarse from being out late and talking loudly, you know, like when we were doing shows the next day in the car.
Yeah.
When we're both just hoarse. And I'm just kind of getting my voice back together, but...
Did it freak you out to be in a big group?
Well, it was kind of, and that was my birthday, so there was like birthday party vibes going on after.
Like, oh yeah, life, remember?
Yeah, exactly. So it was really nice. It was a late, good time. But it was nice to play again, like at a show, and let it rip.
Did you rip some solos?
Just letting it rip, yeah.
Did and you?
It's covers, so you're just having fun. Like everything from like The Killers, all these things I've done to Wagon Wheel, which you should have been there to sit in.
Was the band leader like giving you notes and stuff? Like, I think you can slow it down here, man.
Well, no, we actually had like three rehearsals beforehand. So it was,
you were tight.
We knew exactly what to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's
30 minutes, not too crazy.
He's a heavy player, right? Your bud?
Yeah, yeah, he loves guitar and he loves to sing, so it's just basically kind of, and there's people that work at the company that are just either were more serious in the past or had to do it on the side seriously, kind of, so it was just kind of fun to collaborate in that regard, too.
I've done a couple of those like corporate gigs where someone who works at the company has a guitar and like, you know, I need my guitar in the room like the day before so it can acclimatize.
Yeah.
Like those rockstar CEO dudes take the music seriously.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's not serious. Mike's not like that at all. Like he's more like fun, have a good time, like campfire styles, you know? When Robin and Warren got married in Turks and Caicos, that's where the wedding was at his house. And we were jamming most of the weekend. I had a cajon and he was playing acoustic. So it's just more like just playing for fun.
So walk me through the set list.
I believe it was Fugees, Killing Me Softly. So that's like, you know, that beat.
It's
real chill. And then what was the second one? Second song was, Shallow, the Lady Gaga.
Really?
Bradley Cooper. Yeah, yeah.
Who could rip that?
the girls that work at the company, there's some great singers.
And they crushed it.
And sang that one. But I'm trying to think. Yeah, so, and that song, like, we were playing that for fun on tour, right? But that the song actually has this big, like, build in it, right?
Big
the drums
time.
Come in on gung, this big gung, build. Gung, and, gung, gung. And with the big shots.
Sagadoo, bagadoo.
Yeah. So anyway, that, and then Creep by Radiohead.
Man.
And then The Killers. And then Wagon Wheel. Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
Jeez.
Which is a fun groove to play. Really kind of swings.
It's a big and then, song, too.
And then Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses to finish it off.
So you took it home super high energy.
Yeah, so Larry, the guitar player, works at Point Click Care as well. And he crushed that solo, man. That's a tough solo.
Yeah.
Right, with the wah and all that shit. We're going to go there, we're going to go there. So, yeah, it was fun, man. It was a good time.
Shug's in Rock Band at school, as you know, and Sweet Child of Mine is one of their songs. She's a little bummed out that she didn't get the solo. But I walked in the house the other day, and they had a friend over, and there was a little trio down in the music room. The friend was on drums, Shug was playing guitar, and Indy was playing keyboard, and they were playing Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Nice.
And I was like, man, here's what you guys need to know. If you keep at this, an all-girl rock group in high school, like, you're already the coolest kids in high school.
Totally.
Like, they're doing it for fun because they love it, but an all-girl cover band is pretty wicked.
I'd say, for sure. Absolutely. I'm filling in for another bod, Matt Denham. He has a band, and tomorrow night we're rehearsing. So there's like 30 songs right now that I'm learning. But they're all the same kind of jams, mostly like 90s classics.
So what is that a cover band?
Yeah.
For what? Like, where are you playing?
For fun. They're playing a gig on the 23rd at the Pilot in Toronto. So it's just for shits and gigs.
Well, that's kind of fun. It's like you put the word out that you're back in it, and people are like, all right, come play with me.
Exactly. Sure. Totally. Good times.
I have the hotel sneakies on because I'm in Chicago for a gig. So if I sound kind of low key,
you're in the quiet.
Yeah. I'm doing the sneaky courtesy to the people next door styles.
Good. Very nice of you.
Yeah.
I'm just, is this 88, right? 288?
Is it?
Episode? Is it? I think it is.
288 hours of conversation.
Exactly.
When you, okay, Carol and I always play, like, don't think, just answer. When you think of, like, the highlights, what comes to mind?
For us?
Yeah.
I'd say just conversationally is where it's at.
More than bits?
Well, bits are fun because you have laughs, but I think it's just the chats.
Chatskis?
Good chats. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, for moments, I would say like way back, like when, what was it? Sun City, Donovan, like that kind of style.
Yeah. Just stumbling on those, like, weird micro references. Yeah.
Sun City.
Think of all the characters that we've created.
I know, there's lots.
Like, people that haven't been so around many. In a while, like Andrea and Laramie and Gordon Byrne. Seth Fisher.
Yeah, we... well, and... yeah. Randy Bachman.
Yeah. We used to always do the top fives with the kind of improv scenarios.
Jams.
Who was the guy on the bus who was a bully?
A bully on the bus. Well, I think I kind of remember the character, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah, and then there was this guy, Jeremy.
Jeremy,
Micah.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeremy.
Micah was the worst.
You genuinely had a physical reaction to him. Because it's kind of a gear pigeon.
He's a real guy, that person.
Hey, Jeremy. Did you get some gear pigeons at this gig? People wanting to know what sticks you're using and all that?
Not really. Not really. Because it was a lot, there was a lot of jobbers there too, right?
What does that mean?
Like, the bands, the corporate bands were filled out with, like, musicians for hire styles.
Oh, so were there people that you knew?
There were a couple buds that listened to the show. JP's one of them. Like, two guys in one of the bands is like, hey, I was just listening to the pod today.
Really?
So that was cool. Yeah, yeah. So that was, like awesome to have. But they were, professional musicians that do corporate gigs all the time. So
I read your catnip thread about if there's a 90s band, I have a story.
Yeah. It's true, though, right?
That thing was took fun. Off. You crossed paths with everyone.
Yeah. Like, I think it's... because when you're out doing it all the time, you run into everybody. And it's fun to just kind of have people remind you of certain things and just kind of jump in. By the way, it's 89. This is 289.
Is it?
So there's a whole bunch of songs that are from 89 that are classic. But like this little jam.
She drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I like this band. Fine Young Cannibals.
That snare drum. What was his name? Sound, like,
was he Roland Gift?
I don't remember any of the people's name in that band. I just remember the guy with the falsetto jams voice.
I think he was a male model who became a singer.
He's like, I can sing like this.
Yeah.
If you just let me.
He was a British singer, songwriter, and actor.
She drives me crazy.
I loved that band.
Just crushing it. Did you?
Yeah.
Like, you had that jam, probably?
Yeah, I had that record. There's a song on that record called As Hard As It Is that is a great song.
The Raw and the Cooked?
Yeah, I had that record. But I feel like, was that their only record?
I don't know.
Okay, hit me with another 89 jam. This is the sweet spot for me. I was on Street Sense in 1989. Prince. No. Oh, Love Shack.
Yeah. The B-52s. That was kind of their, like, comeback, I guess, right?
Well, I don't know. Were they a thing before that?
Well, it seems like that they went from Red Lobster or whatever in the, like, early
Rock 80s Lobster.
To Love Shack. Rock Lobster. That song. You don't remember that one?
Yeah, you said Red Lobster.
There's more kind of punk jam. Yeah, Rock Lobster. Red Lobster.
I wasn't a huge fan of that band. What else you got for me in the 89?
Okay, how about this one?
That's My Prerogative.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown. It's a banger. Dirty banger.
He's like smoking crack before he does this song. Bobby Brown, remember, he was like crazy. You'd mess with Bobby Brown.
No.
Unless you want to get punched in the head with a camera.
Can you recognize that that is a good jam, or are you like, man, no, that's not for me. I can't even get into it.
Well, I didn't like buy it and listen to it, but I mean, I'd say it's a good jam, I guess, like a pop song. But
what if this band last week was like, we're going to do Wagon Wheel, then we're going to do My Prerogative. then we're going to do Sweet Child of Mine.
I would be happy. I'll crush it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't care.
So it's a good beat.
No, for sure. How about this one? Remember, this is my favorite, maybe my favorite Gord moment ever. When he did this song. The big intro. Remember the bit he did?
Oh, yeah. Hey, girl, what have you done? You're gonna tell me like a woman.
It's like, why didn't Gordon Lightfoot do Janie's Got a Gun for real?
Janie's Got a Gun.
The whole thing's come undone. Chikita.
I like that song.
That was another kind of comeback, I guess, for those guys.
Well, yeah, because
Daryl Mitt.
And they kind of rebranded as a country band for a while. Like all
they had
there
all those,
goes
like,
my old
big,
girlfriend.
Those rock ballads that were like written by Carole King.
Did you ever cross paths with them?
Or like Diane Warren or something. We played a show with Aerosmith in Quebec, and I was actually... Because I was kind of like, you hear about them being kind of, I don't know, like crazy rockers that like are, you know, that got their stuff together. And I guess because I grew up not a fan really of 80s rock, even though they were 70s rock.
So did you like meet them in the Lobster Land, like the Stones?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, and so we were playing a show with them, and I, first of all, I saw them come in the backstage or whatever just before their show, and Joe Perry had like a joint at his mouth.
No.
And he like went took a piss, comes back, they go on stage, and as soon as he started playing guitar, I was like, holy shit, man, that's some shit right there.
Really?
I was like, wow, okay, forget it. Like anything any ideas I had of them being whatever salad or something, it was gone. Like I was like, man, that is fucking, that guy is incredible.
So he gets to the...
And then Steven Tyler started singing. I'm like, holy shit. Like just when you're standing on stage and you just hear the actual strength of his voice and... the guitar fucking sounded so amazing. Just like one string. I was like, God damn. That's a fucking tone right there.
So he gets there one P before they go on.
Yeah.
That's the like Swiss engineering they
crush
have it
a
down
piss,
to.
Crush a piss and go crush it.
And then what about after? Like right in the van?
Back, van, airport, out, or whatever, hotel. Gonzo.
Did they have ladies around?
No, they just were in and out. There was no like hanging backstage. It was like 20 minutes before their show. They came there from the hotel, and then they were on and then gone.
The old on and gone.
Yeah, I think a lot when you're rolling at that level, like or the private jet styles, like the car's waiting and you're gone. There's no hanging out, unless it's like you're on before a festival or something. It's generally hit the ground running as soon as they finish.
And they have like blockers for all the micas who are like, "Hey, Steve." Right? You're not getting close to him.
Yeah, but there's just security in them, and they're gone. Like, they walk from the stage into the, you know, the blacked-out windowed vans and Gonzo.
I have a great task for you. Something I've never asked you, and why don't we take a little break, and we'll get to it right after the break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Be right back, buds.
Yellow.
Okay, we kind of did this before when we did Canadian Classics a few years ago.
Yeah.
Put together your all-time all-star Canadian band with different people from different bands for every instrument. Because in your, if there's a 90s band, I have a story thread, you referenced someone who was, I think, the best lead singer you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who it was.
Well, Lane Staley.
Yeah.
From Alice in Chains.
Like the best, full stop.
Well, the most naturally gifted between him and Jeff Buckley. But both of those guys are American, but they both had like the kind of voice that was just effortless, perfect pitch. They didn't even warm up before they went on, ever. I know specifically because the bass tech from Alice in Chains, Randy Biro, was also Jeff Buckley's guitar tech.
No way.
So he also worked for Soundgarden. He passed away from a heroin overdose.
But
I used to hang out with him all the time, and he told me both those guys never, ever warmed up before shows. And they're like the best singers ever. It's so crazy.
How about those guys? Like, that is a fascinating mentality. People who are so dedicated to their craft and make all the sacrifices of being on the road and away from family and that kind of hard living, but don't get the fame and perks. Like, you must really love your craft.
Well, I mean, they were both very popular.
Well, I don't mean the musicians. I mean tortured. The techs.
Oh, the techs. Yeah, that's a rough life, man.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using. For sure. That's a short fuse.
So let's start with not Canadian. So you said Lane was the best vocalist of all time. Like, what is your all-star non-Canadian band with people in every position?
Yeah, well, there's a difference between the best I've seen and like if I could make music with them. There's a bit of a difference, but they're similar, but they're both, and obviously it doesn't matter if they're dead or alive, or does it matter?
Well, no, let's say it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do all time, and then I want to do of the people you've seen, and then I want to do Canadian.
Okay, we can do that.
But let's start with like all time living or dead. Best blank ever.
Well,
Hornsby, I mean, on piano. Obviously.
All time. Well, I think Jeff Buckley was, because he wasn't just an incredible singer, he was a great guitar player as well.
So are you using him for two of your spots?
No, but you get the extra great guitar with him anyway.
Yeah, I'll accept that. So I would
throw him on vocals. And on bass, I think I would go like, I don't know, it's tough because there's like your James Jamersons and your Jaco Pastorius. Or like
the Tall Mask from Dire Straits.
Yeah, or the Tall Mask from Dave Matthews. The big tall bass.
Or the Tall Mask from Nirvana. Wait a sec. Why are bass players always tall?
I know. So bass. Like Bootsy Collins was incredible. He's an incredible bass player.
Okay.
But I think I would go with, I think I'd have to go with Paul McCartney.
Heard of him?
Because he's just so musical.
Same thing, like double duty, you're stealing him because he's a good songwriter and singer as well? Or for his bass playing?
He's bass playing, like even if he didn't sing, his bass playing is so creative.
Bass masks.
So it's all, like he wasn't busy, but if you listen to all those records, the bass is so interesting because it's just taking your ear in a different part of the note, you know, like a different area of rhythm or a different area of the note. So it's stretching making the song very wide by just kind of opening all these doors that are in the same keys and chords. So yeah, Paul McCartney on bass.
Nice.
And keyboards. Keyboards. I don't know, keyboards. Like Herbie Hancock, maybe. If you're gonna go, you might as well go large.
I like this band.
Right? Herbie Hancock.
Trying to imagine everyone sitting down and going, "Okay, what do you guys want to do?"
Or even Richard Manuel from the band. Incredible piano, but the voice. Such a good voice. So I could take piano, and I'll take Herbie Hancock and Richard Manuel. And then I could have double drums, right?
Sure, it's your band. You can do whatever you want.
So I'll take like Jim Keltner or Jeff Beccaro. Probably Jeff Beccaro because he's not with us anymore, and he was incredible. So that would basically make my job a lot easier. Just kind of hanging in there with Jeff.
Jeff Beccaro was Toto, right?
Yeah, and everybody else, like.
So the Shunkakata.
Yeah, he's like in Africa. Is that him? 20, yeah, but he's like 20%, like Rosanna, that beat, or you know, like those are crazy drums. But even like I keep forgetting, you know, that Michael McDonald, that's Jeff Beccaro, too. Like there's a lot of like 80s and 70s pop and soul and R&B rock that he did all that stuff. Like he's probably on 20% of maybe 30 to 40% almost of yacht rock is Jeff Beccaro. But yeah, Jeff Beccaro. What else do we got? Guitar, I guess. What? Yeah, guitar.
Yeah, guitar.
I think Eddie Van Halen, just because he just was so incredible.
And then singer, is that Jeff Buckley?
Singers, I could take like, he could sing, but maybe let's get like, take it up a notch and have like Nina Simone sing.
Oh, jeez.
Right? So now the band's really taking a new level. Because all these people would inspire all these other people. They would be like, what? Right? So they'd be on fire. Everybody would be cooking it up.
And they're playing Wagon Wheel?
Do you know Wagon Wheel? Like, could you play it right now?
Well, G, D, C.
Like, you know all the words, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I figured you would definitely know it.
No, it's... Just
throw it out there.
It's Ya Boy Darius, right?
Is that it? Like, is it a cover or was it his song?
Well, that I actually don't know. I'd never heard it before.
Because Darius is in the credits, but Bob Dylan is in the credits. Did he steal more Bob Dylan lyrics in Wagon Wheel? And like give Bob Dylan got credit again? Like in Only Want to Be With You?
Yeah.
Is that what happened, right?
I don't know.
Steal some lyrics?
I'm just looking, but it says song by Darius
Rucker. Is it that one, that line about the Cumberland Gap? Is that a ripoff from Bob Dylan?
Oh, can't you hear Bob Dylan saying "Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel"?
No, that's what I'm saying. The bridge maybe he wrote like, because in that "Only Want to Be with You," that
tangled up in blue,
the million bucks line, right? That's a direct ripoff of a Bob Dylan. So maybe he did it again. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, okay, so Bob Dylan has a song called Rock Me Mama, Wagon Wheel.
Oh, there
he is. Oh, wait a sec. He did? Yes.
That's, so it is Bob Dylan.
Wait a sec.
Straight up?
Huh. I'm going to hit play on a YouTube thing that's called, it's only playing in my earbuds. Yeah, there's a Bob Dylan clip called Rock Me, Wagon Wheel, Mama Rock Me. So did he gank the chorus?
I guess, yeah.
Right now, Bob Dylan, like, clickety-clack, hey, Bob Dylan, 1967, song. We're going to get blown up for not knowing it.
Oh, they will, for sure. Someone will know, obviously, but yeah.
Okay.
It's another Darius loves to rips the Bob Dylan lines.
Bob Dylan rips. Okay, so next, band of people that you've seen, and there might be some overlap. Maybe you've seen all the people. Nina Simone you haven't seen.
Okay. So this is what? Canadian?
No,
or
this
what?
Is the band made up of people that you've seen.
That I've seen.
So forget their reputation. Right. Based on one live performance that you've seen of these people, like you know who plows the following five people.
Yeah. Okay, like starting on Volks.
Yep.
Just trying to, it's of people I've seen.
Well, it's got to be Lane.
Yeah. Lainey. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
The best I was Lollapalooza in 93 or 4, maybe 93. And I was like blown away because of all the bands that day, and it was like Tool and Rage Against the Machine. It was a crazy lineup. I think that was that year. But I know I saw it the 2 years in a row, and there was just like crazy. Everybody was breaking, and all these massive bands just came out of that. But I just thought that they sounded most like their albums sounded a lot like they would play live. You know what I mean? As opposed to the album, just they couldn't quite get to what the record was.
But they could.
But like Rage sounded like the record. But I mean, for me, Rage, like I think they're great. Honestly, after like five or six songs, I get lost. I'm starting to get bored, believe it or not. Even though they're incredible and they're awesome, I don't know what it is. Maybe just the lack of melody or something that kind of just grinds me a bit. But
I get it.
They would have to be playing hit after hit. But yeah, anyway, Alice in Chains, him opening his mouth the first time, I thought it was like a track, like the CD or just like something. It was so big and full that I was like, man. And it's like just so loud and just standing there, not moving at all, but being so present and just projecting like. Incredibly. So yeah, take Lane for sure. Can't go wrong, except for the fact that he might die on you from the bank getting too banged up.
Oh really?
Yeah, heroin caught up to him. But I mean, even like that unplugged when he was getting close to the end, he was still singing like no different.
Hmm.
Just crazy.
Okay.
So yeah.
So are you going to use Eddie Van Halen on guitar again?
Well, I don't have to. I could say I would say just trying to think of seen a lot of great guitar players out there. Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead is a really cool guitar player. He's like such a cool guitar player that he'll be like, I'm going to play this and put the guitar down and do something else on this like box full of knobs. You know what I mean? But that like the Benz record and OK Computer, all those records just had such incredible guitar parts. Even like in their earlier stuff, the guitar parts are just so interesting and different, not like anything else. So I like those kind of guitar players that are like pushing the envelope
with technology,
a lot of energy
and technology.
Well, they kind of connect. They were on that same tip as Pink Floyd, I'd say, where Pink Floyd were just very experimental and they like to kind of push that envelope. But David Gilmour, though, like he's when I saw him live, I was pretty blown away at his like his guitar playing. I don't even, he could play a song I've never heard and I'm still like glued to it. There's something to be said about that. Well, like he's such a gifted guitar player that he can just kind of noodle around and it's just catchy and makes you want to listen more.
Well, you know who my guy is for that role?
Well, Mark Knopfler is like that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a DM on Instagram of Mark Knopfler live. I got to thank whoever it was, but like, it was like the show, that the Mark Knopfler show. He was like, you know, it's all in the new. What are you talking about on there? Like, it sounded like he was just rambling. It was like a ding day, ding day, ding day, ding ding. Hey, what's up? Not on here. Like, but like, you know, and he's getting up there.
Yeah, sure.
In terms of where the what he looks like, but the guitar playing is exactly like 1978, it might as well
unreal.
Be. You know what I mean?
Well, I saw him a couple years ago.
I've never seen Mark Knopfler in concert, so I can't take him, but I would take David Gilmour and Johnny Greenwood on guitars.
He's 72.
And then, what?
Knopfler's 72.
He is. He looks a little older. I think he's might have hit the rocked a little too hard in the 70s and 80s and sped it up. Bought himself out a decade early.
Uh-oh.
What?
Well, let's catch up with him. No.
Yeah.
But Harry doesn't.
Bass playing. Bass. Bass players, so many great bass players.
We're almost there. I'm pumped for the Canadian one.
You know who's a great bass player?
Who?
I'll do an all Canadian band next. But Adam Clayton from the U2, great bass player.
Because of With or Without You?
Just as a bass player, like wicked ideas, great feel, simple, but incredible timing, you know? Both him and Larry Mullen are like metronomes.
A friend of mine said, and it's so true, it takes confidence to keep it simple.
Yeah, and he has to deal with Bono all day.
Right.
So that's the other part. Imagine being, it's like, oh, fucking here he comes. Right? At the studio?
How God quiet damn. Is it on the PJ? The only sound you can hear is Bono talking.
Bono talking to the stewardess. Telling him about, this is what one was about. It's about, because I wanted to be a, get pregnant.
Yeah, I heard Rain met him and he gave some spiel about one's,
about that, like wanting to be a woman to have a birth. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. I wish I could do it.
What?
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about?
He was banged up. That what he was, I don't know, maybe changes the vibe depending on who he's talking to, but that's what he was filling Maida's ears up with. Some bullshit about wanting to conceive a kid and being upset that he can't.
Where did they meet? Like, what?
They were after a show because I can't remember how or why, but they ended up like Peter Pan, that restaurant on Queen Street. They like had dinner there after one of their shows.
How did that come up?
I don't know. I don't know. He somehow met somebody and weaseled his way into the after party.
The pad thai at Peter Pan was great.
Huh? Pat. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a good spot. Well, Rain's girlfriend at that time ended up marrying Adam Clayton later, like years later.
What?
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah.
A Canadian gal?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I think Susie Smith was her name, and I think she was like E.D. Smith, like that family.
Yeah.
One of the jams.
What? She was a jam heiress?
Yeah. Because, well, Rain went to Ridley College, right? That private school in St. Catharines.
Well,
so, yeah. Everybody there is somebody.
I have so many questions.
Somebody's kid.
So
somebodyskid.org.
When the band got together, he was dating a jam heiress?
Yeah, definitely.
Did he ever bring the jam heiress to the jam space?
Well, yeah, she was around a lot. She's amazing, very cool person. Definitely.
And was she ever like, Plum, that's me? Like, did she ever jam drop?
I never brought it up. It was just kind of no, not that I heard.
Like, you know, Marmalade? That's me.
Definitely. Yeah. She's cool. She's a really nice person. So
it's never occurred to me before that someone is the heir to a jam fortune.
Right? If you're Adam Clayton, you're like, she's got more money than I do.
No kidding. Everyone loves jam. Only some people love you too.
Is that still around, that Edie Smith?
I'm sure. Jams?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Wow.
But anyway, like you said, this you know, name an artist, that gets pretty slippery fast, where you're telling stories. You're like, oh yeah, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Small world.
By the way,
okay, so where are
they? Also have pie fillings and jellies.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the Edie Smith lemon meringue pie kit. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, you fire it all together and you put it in the oven. It's got comes in real nice. That was a treat when I was a kid.
E.D. Smith. Since 1882, they've been making money on jam. They have
making jam on money.
They have a recipe for pumpkin chocolate chip cookies on their website right now. Oh, yeah, the lemon tarts look legit.
Okay, so listen.
By the way, they expanded to muffins and loaves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the of carbs? Course, the pie, the canned pie fillings. They also do a syrup. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there you go. Yep.
Okay, so are we done that band? Is that it?
I feel like we're done that band.
Did we pick... where was I? I don't know. Did I pick a bass player? Can't remember.
Well, yeah, Adam Clayton.
Yeah, Adam Clayton. Duh.
Yeah.
That took us down that rabbit hole. Okay, so that's it, right?
Yeah, so all guitars, Canadian.
Vocals. All Canadian. Okay.
This is where you're going to be like, no, I can't say that person because that person's feelings will be hurt. Like, everyone's good. Just in your opinion.
And I'll do that kind of, but based on my knowledge of certain guys.
Ernie.
And girls.
The band is called Ernie.
Ernie.
And you have a gig in a week. Who's in it?
My kids are playing piano. Throughout this whole pod, John and Anna are doing their piano practice. So just bear in mind here. Okay, Canadian band. Let's go with... Who are we talking here? Who's cooking up on the old guitar? Some great Canadian guitar players. You know who's a great guitar player? Jag from My Mother Earth. Great guitar player.
You were saying that.
Yeah. Give Jag the strap.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't go Cobesy.
Yeah. I could go Cobesy I could go Cobesy on rhythm. Because he was like the best rhythm guitar player, period, right? Jag's good too, so it'd be a great... him on that, like, ripping on the acoustic or ripping on those, like, crazy electric finger playing.
You want Cobesy on your whammy bar.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The tree falls.
Yeah.
secret next level whammy.
Next level whammy is a company in Mississauga that just makes whammy bars.
They're just the next level whammy.
Good morning, next level whammy.
Like, wee, wee. Oh man. Okay.
It's like a testing facility for whammy bars, and they have different robotic arms, like the Canada arm tests the whammies. Good morning, next level whammy.
That's guitar players. Who we put on?
You need a bass player.
Geddy Lee.
Sick.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that would be a good hang. Geddy's fun. Watch baseball. Chill out. Few laughs.
Oh, you're factoring in the 22 hours a day you're not on stage.
Yeah, like I'm putting the band together thinking, that's why it's like it's tough when you have like guys that are doing heroin to be in the band. You gotta be thinking like, whoa. Stick with Geddy, keeping it clean. So yeah, Geddy. And we know the vocals. Vox. Gotta go with Gordy. Best front man in Canadian history, right?
Lightfoot or Downey?
Downey.
Yeah, I know.
Going Downey. Because I don't know if Gord Lightfoot could handle the rock jams. It's like, we gotta rock too, Gord.
I'm just interested to see who's playing drums in your all-Canadian band. I know who you think is a great drummer. Well, there's a bunch of people. Timbo.
Yeah. Timbo, great times.
Glenn.
Yeah. Glenn Milcham from Blue Rodeo, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's incredible. Glenn's one of my favorite drummers in the country for sure.
Like feel wise, right?
Yeah, he's just so wicked. But he, you know, when he used to play in Change of Heart with Ian Blurton, who's an incredible songwriter, guitar player, they were one of the most ferocious bands you'd ever see live, period. Like leaving nothing on the stage, just crushing it. And loud and just like
all the things,
tear your face off. Yeah.
So you're going Timbo, you're going Glenn, or you're going you?
Ian Blurton's so great, man. If anyone ever has a chance to go see Ian Blurton live, whatever band he's doing at the time, they're all just so great. He's just such a great singer and guitar player. Glenn's great, sure. Why not? Yeah.
Not even putting yourself in your Canadian band.
Well, I can do double drums with any of them. I gotta think, if it's a hang, like Timbo, triple drums. Bring Timbo on for the ride, for just laying souls down every night.
Also, yeah, that just such a good dude, too.
Yeah, for sure.
We're overdue for like a TNT staff party.
I know, eh? Jeez, yeah. Well, I mean, it looks to me like, as crazy as this wave, the sixth wave is, I think this might be it. And everyone's kind of booking stuff anyway, but I mean, I don't feel comfortable doing shows right this second, but very soon, maybe in the fall, we should start thinking about it and maybe do some side door shows. You know how easy that is.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best, so... So yeah, we will be back out there as soon as possible. We have all these albums, you know, just sitting here, right? My basement's full of coffee cups still.
It is?
I got TNT. Yeah, I got like 7 boxes of TNT mugs still.
Oh my gosh. We have to get out to see the buds. So, yeah. Compare notes.
We got to get out to see the buds.
Get some hugs.
For sure.
Sell some mugs. We should call it the Hugs and Mugs Tour.
Hugs and mugs. That's right. Definitely. Remember how it was like, it's like the mugs are great unless you have to bring them on a plane. Oh. Then it's like, it goes away because there's only 15 in a box and they're like super heavy.
And they break. That's how we ended up giving beer caps. Yeah. Small, indestructible.
Yeah. Oh no, the best was when we're like, okay, we have a great idea. Instead of like bringing it all on the plane, we'll just ship it out to every place. And then next thing you know, it's like $17,000.
I know.
Just all the money we made just gone.
Gone. How'd you do on the tour? Minus $6,000. Not bad. And we have boxes of hoodies left over to bring home.
Yeah, we're like selling tons of merch. And then we're like, oh man, we shouldn't have done that. That was so expensive.
And that's how we end up driving from Edmonton to Saskatoon.
Yeah, it's probably, imagine now, it'd probably be like $40,000 shipped out.
Like with one-way car rental costs, it's not lucrative.
Oh, yeah. No.
$1,000 a ticket. Yep. That's the only way.
Yeah, exactly right. Or the bullshit, like, no, it's an NFT. Just call it an NFT. The ticket's an NFT, so it's $300.
Oh, that's what we'll do. NFT&T.
I wonder if there's like people are getting NFT'd, like where bands like selling stuff and there's just this like, wait a second, I just bought this album as an NFT for $300, but it's just the same as listening to it on iTunes. Like, what the fuck is that? You can't sell it, right? You can't be like, oh, I'm going to put it back on the market and get my money back.
There are things like outer space and NFTs that I can't think about too much because it's a shortcut to a migraine.
Oh, House of Crypto, bro.
Yeah, great.
No, how is it?
I'm going to tell you something.
You got it.
I can't even log in to my account because it requires like 2FA security system clearance. And every time I go to check, it's like, you know what? I don't have time to sort this. So I don't even know.
Well, I saw Bitcoin went under 40 grand for like the lowest in a while.
I don't have any of that.
Whatever. Bitbot coins.
It's what I've salad the whole thing.
The crypto, bro. My favorite is like the guys that like go out and it's like NFT speech. It's gonna be talking about NFTs. It's like some guy in front of all these people talking about fucking crypto and NFTs. It kills me, man.
Well, I saw that Jake Paul being interviewed. It was like, how much did you make last year? 40 million. Is that from everything? Yeah. No, that's just boxing. I have another 60 million in NFTs and crypto.
Yeah, because those guys are getting the apes. Like, someone's giving them an ape to put on their Instagram to make it go up in value, but they got it for nothing.
Elon Musk.
Apparently Snoop Dogg's just crushing in that field.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like just like one of the biggest players in that whole NFT world.
He's like, he's a big ideas guy, man.
Yeah.
Good job.
And he seems to me like he's not feeling like if something's not going well, he's going to tell you about it, right?
Yeah, if you're in business with him. Hey, I got to talk to you for a minute, man. Sure, what's up?
What's this shit about?
That picture of the ape, it's not worth nothing, man. Oh, but it will be.
Yeah.
I would not want to mess with him.
Oh, my God. That's it. Good times, bud.
Good chatting, bud.
Good chatting. Let's take sleepy times, going to bed. It's a night. People don't know. This is a night episode.
It's a quiet, sneaky night hotel rip episode from Chicago.
Yeah. Have a great night, buds.
Good chatting, bud.